بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today inshallah we'll address the fifth right upon us, and that would be the right to our neighbors. حق الجار هو الحق الخامس من هذه السلسلة. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أبي قراد السلمي قال: كنا عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فدعا بطهور، يعني بماء، فغمس يده فيه ثم توضأ فتتبعناه فحسوناه، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما حملكم على ما صنعتم؟ قالوا: حب الله ورسوله. One of the companions reported that he said that we were with Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم when he asked for some water to make wudu. He put his hand in it, then he made the wudu. So we copied him. We made exactly what he made, the process of making wudu. So he asked him a question. He said, what made you do what you did? They said, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Now notice the answer. It's not like, we like to copy you. We just liked water. We don't know. حب الله سبحانه وتعالى ورسوله. This is love. And when you talk about love, it talks about you like the person and what the person likes and what the person does. You like it. Even if you don't like it, you make yourself like it. Because love means to give up your desires for the sake of your lover. That's real love. When you say, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, are you willing to do the hard things that you find very hard for yourself, but you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it? Are you willing to do it? If you do, then this is true love. Otherwise, fake love. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the answer. فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتُمْ أَنْ يُحِبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. If you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, to like you, pay extra attention to those words. They said, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, that's why we did what we did. We copied you. So this is love from one side. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger to love you, which is the love from the other side, which is more important than the love in the beginning. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger is not more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger loving you. Because I can love you and do the things that I think you might like and you really don't, because I'm ignorant of you. And that's exactly what ignorant people and people who innovate do. They claim they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, but they do the things that He did not command. So they have real love, they have sincerity, but they fail to fulfill acting upon what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is establishing a rule for them. You love me and you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's nice of you. Now, if you really want us to love you back, which means reward you, support you, protect you, facilitate your life, accept you in Jannah, protect you from the hellfire, from the punishment in the grave, all of those things, and this is what you do. Addu idha tumintum. When someone trusts you, fulfill the trust. Whatever the trust is, you made a deal, a contract with someone, fulfill it. Look at the teachings of Islam. Even in the times of war with the enemy, if you have a pact or a treaty, and your enemy violates the conditions, you are not to attack or fight unless you explicitly tell them the deal is off. They violated the conditions. Not you, they. In our nowadays understandings, you broke the deal, it's over. I don't have to tell you, I can surprise attack you, I can do anything I want. Islamically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَانْبِذْ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَى سَوَاءٍ. Yani, tell them, okay, you've done what you've done, you broke the rules, no more treaty between us. Now, if they want to protect themselves, defend themselves, make another deal, this is good. But, أَدُّوا إِذَا أْتُمِنْتُمْ, fulfill it. Even to the point, if the other person does not fulfill it, make sure your part is done. Remember when we talked about rights? You have rights to you, due to you, and rights upon you to others. So if the other person does not fulfill his rights, that doesn't give you the grounds for not fulfilling your right. Every person is individually asked about his rights that he has to fulfill toward others. وَصْدُقُوا إِذَا حَدَّثْتُمْ. And if you talk, make sure you say the truth. And truthfulness is truthfulness with yourself. You know how you be truthful with yourself? Before you go to sleep, account yourself. That's truthfulness to yourself. I did this and this and this, and here is what I'm going to do. Astaghfirullah from this, apologize for this, give back for that. This is truthfulness with yourself. Truthfulness with people. Whatever you say, say the truth. Truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't say I'm a Muslim and you don't pray. Don't say I'm a Muslim and you break the rules. Don't say I'm a Muslim and you're not acting like one. Truthfulness with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of those are truthfulness. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be truthful. What happens if you are truthful? Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Number two, it's a way to Jannah. Number three, people trust you. Number four, it feels good. Really, it does. Because when you are honest, when you're truthful, all you have is one story. That's it. But when you're a liar, you have hundreds of stories. I tell him a story and I tell him a story and I back up this story with another lie to the point that I lose track. What I said and to whom I said, you get caught. That's why we have a saying, إحبال الكذب قصير. The ropes for lies is very short. You have a rope, you lie, eventually somebody's gonna catch that rope and bring you back. But when you're honest, it's the same. The biggest example is Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu anhu. When he was captured by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam companions and brought him to the masjid and tied him at the door of the masjid and asked him, 3 days, what do you have to say, O Thumama? Meaning, what's going on? What were you doing? Why are you coming here? What's your plans? And then he keep answering him the same answer every day. If you forgive me, I'm a person who would not forget gratefulness to others. And if you kill me, I'm a noble man and people are going to fight for my blood. Every time he says the same thing. What did he do to him? What did he conclude? He's truthful. He did not change the story. Every day he says the same thing. He told him, go. What did he do? He came back testifying his testimony, accepting Islam. Truthfulness sometimes may lead you to what? You suffer a little bit, you get punished, but eventually it's up. This is like the truth and the falsehood. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you, fulfill your trust Be truthful when you talk. وَأَحْسِنُوا جِوَارَ مَنْ جَاوَرَكُمْ. Be good to the person who lives next to you. Be good to the person who lives next to you. Only if he's from your country. Only if he's a Muslim. Only if he's white or black. Plain. Anyone who is your neighbor, be good to him. طيب. So we have here truthfulness, honesty, goodness, and just. And we know the greatest or the best thing, one of the best thing about Islam is giving extra attention to justice. Justice to you, to others, to people of the same faith, and to the people of the opposite faith. Just is always commanded in Islam. Even if you hate the guts of the person before you, you have to be just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly said, let no hatred or enmity force you to deviate from being just. Be just. اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. Be just, it's closer to being righteous. And you have this justice in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His name is the Just. He commanded just. He sent the messengers with justice. He revealed the books with justice. He established the rules of this dunya and the rules of the hereafter based on justice. So Islam, as we all know, it calls us to be united. It calls to solidarity. It calls to strengthening relationship among its members in a comprehensive way. It's not just partial way to certain people or certain levels. Everyone, comprehensive way to be united and to be solid. And he gave us example. Al-mu'min lil-mu'min kal-bunyan. Believers to believers is like a well-structured building. Every part in that building does its job in supporting that building, and this is how we are supposed. For what? So we can have love among us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to nurture that love. You have the love, this love might dissipate, it might go away. So how do you nurture it? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahadu tahab. Give gifts to one another, you will continue to love one another. And how much is the gift? It doesn't matter. Tahadu, any gift. How can you give a minimum? 99 cents? Minimum? No. Aisha radiallahu anha, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تحقرن جارة لجارتها ولو فرس نشاء. The hoof of the sheep, does it have any meat on it? But they cook it. People cook it for the soup. He said, don't belittle the gift of your neighbor, even if it is a hoof of a sheep. There's no meat on it. But this is what she has. And she gave you it. Thank her for that and don't belittle it. Don't look down at it and say, cheap. Or, what would I do with it? Or, I don't need it. No, understand that the person who gave you that, he thought about you, and this is what he has, and he gave it to you. Take it, and everyone likes gifts. The proof that, brothers and sisters, that the Islamic society, with this great relationship and great dealings with one another and awesome etiquettes, this tells us that the teachings of Islam is not just by simple talk, it is by talk and by action. Talk nice. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say good things to people. If someone comes to ask you for something, you don't have it, you don't say anything bad. You say, brother, forgive me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. I really can't help you. This is nice. At least with that, you get rewards for that. So by action, and by words, so we can feel this brotherhood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to have. Now you know, brotherhood, three kinds. You have blood brothers, and you have brothers by religion, and you have brothers, original, natural brother, which is our father Adam and Hawa. And this includes Muslim and non-Muslims. There are brothers. The closer it is, which is more important, blood brother or religion brother? Faith brothers is more important than blood brothers. We have even a saying, رُبَّ أَخِ لَكَ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكَ. Maybe there's a brother for you that your mother did not give birth to. And that is, if he is my brother, blood brother, and he is my faith, my Muslim brother, he's closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than him, my love to him should be more than him. Because this is the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to establish. Love for his sake. Look at Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Qala rabbi inna ibni min ahli. Oh Allah, my son is from my family. What's the answer? Innahu laysa min ahlik. He's not from your family. But he is. What was the reasoning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that? He said, innahu amila ghayra salih. Aw amalun ghayra salih. He did something unrighteous. He committed partnership or he worshiped someone, disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is not your son. Yes, he is your son, blood son, but that's not what we are looking for. We're looking for someone who serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the brotherhood, where we need the young to respect the old, and the old to have compassion on the young, and the person, a rich person, would feel with the poor person, support him, give him something to alleviate his pain and his suffering, help him with his wealth, whether it is charity or it is zakah, either way. The least that you can do in Islam is a good word. A good word. Look what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. There is even more little than a good word. You know what? Smile. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. Don't belittle any act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you smile in the face of your brother. This is something that everyone can do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger said, do not belittle that. Don't think that smile is no big deal. It brings happiness. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a different hadith, the biggest thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring happiness to the heart of your brother. أحب الأعمال أو من أحب الأعمال الله سبحانه وتعالى إدخال السرور على قلب مسلم. A person who is depressed, you do something to make him happy or to refresh him or to make him forget, that is among the best righteous deed that you can do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in this ayah, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. Worship Allah. In this great ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first command, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not associate partners with Him. That's number one. Why? Because the whole purpose of existence in here is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is number one. And look what he said subhanahu wa ta'ala right after that, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And then be good to your parents. I wonder what happened to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Parents before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's not even mentioned here. Anyone knows? Brothers, you cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it's included. وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you really love Allah, follow me. If you obey me, you will be guided. Why? Because he's a messenger. He takes the commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gives it to us. Based on those commands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped. If you don't have the commands, how is he going to be worshipped? So Prophet Muhammad is including. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be good to your parents, be good to your parents by words, by actions, by compassion, by help, by love, by everything that you could think of, and we talked about those rights. Dhil qurba, relatives. Look what Prophet Muhammad said. لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلْ بِالْمُكَافِرْ. يعني اللي يصل إنسان آخر ليس الذي يتعامل ليس الوصل ليس هو التعامل بالمثل ليس الواصل بالمكافئ. The person who reaches his relatives is not the one who deals with them according to the way they deal with him. You visited me in Eid, I visit you in Eid. If you don't, I won't. You came and congratulated me for the success of my son or the marriage of my son, I would do the same when you have an occasion like that. If you don't, I won't. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْوَاصِلْ أَلَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَ وَصَلْ. The true person who really reaches his relatives is the person when he is cut off by his relatives, he would reach them. Remember, if you work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not care if you get results from people or not. When you give zakah or charity, you're not waiting for the masjid to send you a letter of appreciation. Yes, it's their obligation to thank you, but you're not asking for it. See, rights. You're right upon them to do that, but you're not asking for it because your right to them is to give without asking for it. They will be accounted for that and you will be accounted for this. But all the teachings of Islam, if someone does good for you, reward him. If you can't reward him with anything physical, then you say Jazakallahu khayran. That would be better than actually getting something physical. Why? Because you're saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you with something good. And if you leave it to Allah, it's much better than your reward. This is how we deal with it. So, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. Then he started talking about neighbors. How you take care of them and how you deal with them. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said to that, we have to divide the categories of neighbors. How many kinds of neighbors we have? We have a neighbor who is your relative, and he is a Muslim, relative and a Muslim. How many rights he has? Two, three. Number one, he has the right for being your neighbor, and he has the right for being your relative, and he has a third right for being a Muslim. Second one is Muslim, but he is not relative. How many he has? Two. One for being your neighbor, and one for being a Muslim. The third one, you have one who is your relative, but he is not a Muslim. How many rights he has? Two. He is your relative and he is your neighbor. And one who is not your relative and not a Muslim, what does he have? He has a right for being your neighbor. This is how you can understand the rights of neighbors. If you have a relative and he is a Muslim, three rights. Anytime you drop one of those things, you end up with two rights. If you drop both, you end up with one right. Logically, it's supposed to be what? Zero rights. But it's not, because the right of the neighbor includes Muslims and non-Muslims. Let's look at some of the rights of those neighbors. The greatest right for your neighbor is what? Anyone can guess? Na'am?
You don't harm him,
no.
Tell him about Islam.
Ahsan. The biggest right is to invite him to Islam. Because the whole purpose of life is to worship Allah and to call to Him. And this neighbor, the biggest right he has upon you is to pass the greatness of Islam that you are enjoying to them. Because our job is to save people from hellfire and put them in Jannah. So if you're nice to him in every aspect and you leave him the way he is, and deep inside you know he's not going to Jannah if he stays like that, then you have betrayed him. And guess what? This is his right upon you, which means what? You will be questioned about that when the day of judgment. Who's going to do that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? This particular neighbor would come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to you before Allah, and says, you met me, I lived next to you, how come you did not tell me about Islam? Good question. How come? So the biggest right is to invite your neighbor to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to tell you something and let's see if you can make relationship. Today you'll have some give and take questions and answers. Islam, the more you know about it, the more what? The more you love it. The more you know about it, the more you love it. Tab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you know him, what? The more you love him. The highest level of love is to worship him like seeing him. And when you see him, you have no doubt whatsoever that you would love him to the max. Amazing. Can we make a relationship? The more you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you love him. And the more you know Islam, the more you love it. Conclusion? Or why? Or what can you draw? Islam is definitely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt. Same thing leads to the same thing. More knowledge of Islam, more love. More knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more love. Well, it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not love His words? How can you love someone and you're sick and tired of him talking to you? It doesn't work. His words will be the most pleasing. This is like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Some of the mufassirin said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Prophet Musa alayhi salam, what is that in your hand? He could have just answered simply, it's a stick. Shorten to the point. But he said, oh, this is a stick, you know, I carry it, I lean on it when I get tired, and I take care of my sheep with it, I hit the leaves of the trees so I can feed the sheep. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just asked him, what's in your hand? So they said he continued to talk because he was enjoying the conversation with Allah, the sound of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was hearing. So Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Religion, the main source for the religion is the Quran. Therefore, you're gonna love it exactly the same way you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you know it. The more you know Islam and the teachings of Islam, the more certain you are. Why? Number one, the truthfulness of the verses or the teachings. Number two, it addresses the sound minds. And number three, no contradictions. You read a book and you find that how truthful the examples and the things, especially if you have previous knowledge of those things. And it appeals to the mind, it addresses the mind when it sets an example. Boy, it sounds so good when it gives you a command. It is so right when it tells you about something bad. It is so true. And then at the same time, you read it from cover to cover and you cannot find anything that contradicts anything. No one ever dares to publish a book and write a statement, I dare anyone to find anything wrong with this book or contradicting any contradictions in this book. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them clearly for anyone, if it has been from someone different than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have definitely found in it many contradictions. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Shuf, subhanAllah. Which tells you, no one enters Islam understanding the teachings of Islam and would choose anything different than Islam, or would come out or choose to revert from Islam. No one, if he really entered Islam with complete understanding and conviction from the beginning and understood it, then he exited. Because I would ask you a question, why you exited? You have to tell me, didn't make sense. The teachings are horrible. You have to tell me something. Otherwise, you're either a hypocrite when you entered, or you're arrogant. What is arrogance? Refusing the truth. Or you just never understood it. A person came to a masjid and asked, and he identified himself as a Muslim. They don't know, but you know, we take people face cover. And he needed help. They wrote him a check immediately, asked him a few questions, immediately gave him $200 or, you know, some to that. A few days later, he came. Now, when you give, and even Islamically, if you see the person healthy, zakah, it's not yani recommended for the person. In fact, it is haram for the person to take zakah when he's healthy, unless somebody lost the job now. You can give him, for instance, his rent or something so he can find another job. But to give him some and then again he comes again and asks for money while he's healthy, no, go and work. Companion came, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, how many dirhams you have? He said, two. He made him sell some of the things that he has and go buy an axe and go chop wood. And he became rich. So this person came again, asking for money. They told him, brother, we don't have the money, we can't give you again. Look what he said. He said, on Friday, I saw the brother putting cash in an envelope. I'm trying to understand people when they beg. They're the one who's supposed to be shy and ashamed and you name it. Oh, brother, can I borrow $10? Allah, I don't. Brother, I just saw you in that shop in here. You just handed the person 20 and he gave you 10 back. This is, we call it in Arabic, waqaha. يعني وقاحة. This is the ultimate despicable behavior of someone who's coming to ask you for something and he's talking like that. So anyway, they said, we don't have it. And guess what he did? As he was leaving, this is a funny one. He said, can I ask you a question? Yeah. How would I resign from Islam? I told him, brother, do nothing, you already did. If you think about resigning, you're out. Because that's intention. You're out. If you have, and you don't have to say anything, you know, why you want to resign from Islam? So you enter Islam so you can get money? This is why you enter Islam? I'm just giving you an example for why people sometimes you hear someone entered Islam and he came out of Islam and you go, oh, and they start telling you there is this and there is that in Islam. Don't buy it. If you enter Islam with knowledge, impossible to do. And we have so many examples from the companion. The second right, and يَعُودَهُ إِذَا مَرِضْ. If he's sick, visit him. Yes, visit him and take a gift for him, regardless if he is any of the categories of those neighbors that I have mentioned. Visit him, talk to him, comfort him, help him, physically, financially, whatever you need to do to your neighbor, do that. And يُهَنِّئَهُ وَيُشَارِكَهُ فِي أَفْرَاحِ. If there's some happy event for them, participate with them as long as what? It is not in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if his son got married or his daughter got married, what's wrong with going congratulating them and sitting a little bit and giving them a gift and go? But if there's something that you need to share with them and sit in a party where there's alcohol and all of that, of course you don't do that. If it's something part of religious ceremonies or something like that, you don't participate in that. Why? Because it is simple. It's contradicting the teachings of Islam. It is not something, prejudicism or anything against the person. It is command from Allah, and we are here to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to disobey Him. Third one, أَنْ يُحْسِنْ إِلَيْهِ بِمَا اسْتَطَاعَ مِنَ الْمَالِ وَالْجَهِ. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, خَيْرُ الْجِيرَانِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِجَارِهِ. The best neighbors in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are good to their neighbors. So here, similar to the hadith, وَخَيْرُكُمْ أَوْ وَخَيْرُهُمْ مَنْ يَبْدَأْ بِالسَّلَامِ. I fight with him, we meet. He turns away, and I turn away. The best among us is who? The one who says Salaamu Alaikum first. I'm a neighbor, he's a neighbor. I have rights, he has rights. Who is the best among us? The one who fulfills his rights first in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it from the command of what? سَارِعُوا وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ أَوْ سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Racing for what? For Jannah. Racing for Hasanat. I don't wait for you. I say, when I pass, Salaamu Alaikum. Before you say Salaamu Alaikum to me. So I can get the rewards. So I can put the love in your heart. I enter the door before you. Doesn't matter how much in a hurry. If you are immediately behind me, I'll hold the door for you for a second or two. And I think that would make an impression. Wallahi, it will make an impression. And wallahi, if the person is, probably if there's a fire going on and he has to go save someone, and someone directly behind him, he opens the door and leave it without holding it, or at least trying to hold it, wallahi, it will reflect a negative impression in the heart of the person behind him. They don't know what you have. People don't know what you have in your mind. You're in a hurry for. So these little things make a difference. The same thing when you deal. All the teachings of Islam tells you to be kind and to be first. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُ. Jibreel continued to tell me, take care of your neighbor, take care of your neighbor. I said, there's nothing left except to tell me, okay, your neighbor is going to get part of your inheritance. Yani he is like your relative. Close relatives who inherit you. This is how much Jibreel alayhi salam used to enjoin upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take care of his neighbor. Look at the hadith. إذا طبختي مرقة أو إذا طبخت مرقة فأكثر ماءها وتعاهد جيرانك. If you're cooking soup, bones, you don't have meat, but the taste of the bones, and you made soup. Make sure you make it a little bit more soupy, so you can take a little soup to your neighbor. Not meat, soup, because that's all you have. So don't belittle anything. We go back to the same thing. Why? Because this will strengthen the relationship and the love among you and your neighbor. And the final right for your neighbor, أن يكف عنه الأذى القولي والفعلي, to protect your neighbor from your tongue and from your hands. Don't curse him, don't cuss him, don't harm him, don't throw trash at him, don't park in his parkway, don't get angry if something, if he did something, for instance, threw something at you or at, always be kind to your neighbor. You know, two neighbors, they were so good to each other. One person wants to move out. He set the price for his house, $1 million, $1 million dirham. And the house is worth $500,000. When the person comes, one person wants to buy it, he said, but this house is not worth $1 million. He said, $500,000 for the house and $500,000 because you're going to be a neighbor to this neighbor. His neighbor, in his mind, worth $500,000 for someone to come. You know the worst thing that you can get is a bad neighbor? Living next to someone every day, you wake up with his arguments and you go to sleep with his complaints and arguments. Look what the neighbor said to his neighbor who's selling the house. He told him, I'll give you $500,000 if you stay. $500,000? He's charging it to someone because, hey, I'm giving you this house and this great neighbor. The neighbor said about this person who's leaving, no, I give you $500,000 if you stay my neighbor. Which tells you what? Both of them are awesome neighbors to one another. Not just one, both of them are good neighbors to one another, and this is what we need to do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, you cannot be a believer. By Allah, you cannot be a believer. By Allah, you cannot be a believer. The companion said, Man ya Rasulullah? Who is that person? Qal alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu dawa'iqa. He said that the person whom does not, or who does not give his neighbor the peace and the safety of his harm. يعني لا يأمن جار بوائك يعني شر. يعني this person is evil neighbor. You cannot be a true believer. You cannot be a true believer. You cannot be a true believer if you are evil or you deal with your neighbor with an evil mind or an evil word or an evil action. You cannot be a true believer. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants us to strengthen the relationship in the family, in the neighbors, and in the society. And then after that, in the whole country. It goes step by step. Now you took care of the family, move outside. Go to the neighbor. How many neighbors are we supposed to take care of? Some of the companions said up to 40 on the right, 40 houses on the right, and 40 houses on the left. Some of them said all the people in the same small village or small tribe. So whatever the customs around the place where you live, or what they define neighbors are, these are the people that you take care of. Personally, I know here that people, when I see and they say hi or something, they go, I'm your neighbor. And I say, where they go? I'm next street down. Or I am the end of your street, or something like that. So a few streets around your house is considered here neighbors. I guess maybe that's why they call it neighborhood, right? Neighborhood. So maybe the places where you have houses under one name, that is considered neighbors in that particular. And I guess you can understand that, because you feel good when you find someone, you say where you live, and you tell him in so and so addition. Oh, I live in the same one. We're neighbors. But if you say, I live in South Irving or North Irving, you don't say we're neighbors. So I think this is how you define neighbors according to the customs here. So my dear brothers and sisters, these are the rights of the neighbors. And many of the people, unfortunately, don't give that rights to their neighbors. And most of the neighbors are not even safe from the harm of their neighbors. Most of the time you find them arguing and fighting. Or in worst cases, they don't even talk. Or when they run face to face, barely they say hi. In most cases, they don't say hi or how are you or something. They don't participate with them in a da'wah. What's so hard about inviting your neighbor for a cup of coffee or inviting your neighbor for going out and eat in a restaurant or something like that? These are actions that is loved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Islam is a religion of manners, Islam is a religion of love, Islam is a religion of brotherhood, Islam is a religion of justice, and the one of the signs of the great justice in Islam that he gave us and commanded us to have that great love to our neighbors, and he commanded us to be good to our neighbors. And he told us, if you're not good to your neighbor, you're not a true believer. Conclusion, the rights of your neighbor upon you is a must, wajib. And anyone who does not fulfill that right is a disobedient. And this disobedience is what? Major or minor? Major. What's the reason? Anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you that if you don't do this, you will go to hell. That's a major thing. Anytime you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you don't do this, then you're not a believer. Conclusion, it's wajib. And if you abandon a wajib, it's more sinful than falling in a major sin. Because we are to establish the orders before staying away from the haram. Yani, which is it? Should I stay away from drinking alcohol or pray? Which is more important? Pray. Here, Islam is to do initially, not to stay away. Stay away comes after we fulfill the commands. Staying away automatically comes if we fulfill the obligations the way it's supposed to be. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said salah forbids the person who prays from evil. How? If he establishes, he didn't say stay away from evil, then pray. No, he said, if you pray right, it will keep you away from evil. If you have faith in your heart, you would not allow evil to come, because evil and faith don't work together. If you don't have faith in your heart, then who's going to stop evil? Nothing. You don't have any faith, because faith and evil are enemies. So bring the faith to your heart, automatically the evil exits from your heart. Does that make sense? So we leave it there. Take care of your neighbor and be good. I wanted to, inshallah, next time to see there are other rights. I wanted to see if there would be enough for a lecture to talk about the other rights, because other rights may not be as much as those rights explained in Islam. It could be just a command. I will see that. If there is enough to talk about, inshallah, I will talk about it, the next right. If there isn't, inshallah, I'll choose another topic. And I would appreciate it if you send me your emails or suggestions for what series that you really looking forward to hear. Maybe we can do something that you like and I like, and make sure that it's something beneficial to everyone. Don't just pick a topic that basic or something that you hear all the time. If you have a question, inshallah, we take some. Tafaddal.